Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Premier Chelsea, your source for all things Premier League, but starting with Chelsea first. Coming to you on your speakers and headsets, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm one of your hosts, Jackie, and I'm here in the same time zone, a state apart from Rahul. We're close again, and we get to review Chelsea. Rahul, how are you doing, my friend?
I am doing wonderful, Jackie. It's been a great few days, and I'm feeling a little cold.
A little cold.
But all's good.
It is good indeed, and I know in the last episode we said we would make more of an effort to record a little frequently and get back together, but listen, there's a good excuse for why we didn't record in the last episode, and I think we should start the episode with your trip to London, specifically to Stamford Bridge. Rahul, what can you share with me, first of all, and with our listeners, about your trip to London, Stamford Bridge? I saw some amazing pictures coming off there. You got to meet Georgi Petrovic. A lot of cool things going on. Share with us. We're all eager to hear.
Yes. So I was in London this past weekend for the Burnley game. And I was there on vacation. Specifically planned the vacation so I would end up in London for the game. And I was like, Burnley at home. It's a game that we should be winning. It's a game where we should be putting in a good performance and picking up 3 points. So I was super excited about that. I was super excited about just being back in London after 5 years. The last time I was there, I watched Chelsea beat Frankfurt in the Europa League semifinal. So overall, just excited. Even though you and I have watched them here in preseason, it's just a little bit different going out there and watching a game at the Bridge. So I was out there. I was excited. I tried to meet up with a few folks that we've interviewed on here. Ended up meeting up with Ray, who's done a few episodes with us on for Chelsea Women. And so overall, a great experience, a great day out at the Bridge. The result, not so much.
Listen, at least you got to go there. At least you got to spend some time with, like you said, folks that we've seen on the episode, and they've come along and given us some really good and useful information. And you just get to build those relationships. And above all of that, while the result doesn't go the way you want, I'm sure, just based on the pictures you sent me, my friend, the atmosphere, the weather, seeing some of the guys run onto the pitch, that must have been an experience in itself.
It definitely was. And just after, I hadn't been there all week, but from what I'd heard, the weather had been kind of on and off with the rain. Yeah. Saturday, the day of the game, was beautiful, sunny. Yeah. It was bank holiday weekend, Easter weekend. So just a lot of people and activity going around in and around Stamford Bridge. And I have to say, for before I went into the stadium, I just took a step back and just people watch for a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can see I've said this to you before when we've gone to preseason, but even being in London and just watching people from all over the world being there, I'm listening to like people coming in from America, from China, from all parts of the world to be there for the game. And it's like, you just take a step back and you think about it and you go, Chelsea are really, really a big name around the world. And that's why they were purchased by Todd Boehly and Clear Lake.
Yeah, we are a big brand. And that's thanks to obviously our previous ownership as well, Roman Abramovich, and what he did to build up Chelsea and what that brand stands for. And it's, you've said it many times, and I think it's one of those opportunities that I still have to get, which is to go to Stamford Bridge and experience it the way it's supposed to be. I know you said there's something different, and it's the home of Chelsea, which we all hopefully can get to one day, which will be exciting. But Rahul, let's jump into the Burnley game for a little bit. I don't want to get into specifics and a deep, dark review of the whole game because I thought it was a weird game overall, but we start off well. 2-0, we do two. I'm sorry, 1-0. We start off really well. We get a red card for Burnley, and we said, from here, it's going to be an easy game. And Burnley, to their credit, Rahul, they claw their way back. They fight through. I think it becomes 1-1, 2-1, and in the end, we draw this game 2-2, and we cannot surpass and succumb to this mighty 10-man Burnley team, which unfortunately it ruins your plans. But what can you share being there about not necessarily the gameplay, but the attitude that you saw from the players? You got to see them up front. Maybe you saw things that the cameras don't catch. You're watching a play on the corner. Hopefully you caught some sounds from the sidelines as well of managers and how animated Pochettino was. What can you share about that? Because to me, this was an extremely disappointing result, not because it's a draw against Burnley. We should be beating Burnley. it's because of the nature of it, where everything is going our way. Burnley's 10 men down in the first half, and they get the business done. A draw for them is a fantastic result.
It absolutely is, and it maybe is a resurgence a little too late into the season for them, because they're sitting 19th in the table and 6 points off of safety with 7 games to go. So you look at it and you say, from a Chelsea side, this should be a game. Yes, Burnley have had a few good results coming into it. This should be a game where Chelsea at home with the players that we have should get 3 points regardless of the scoreline. And then as the game transpires and we score the first goal, it's offside. It's taken off. We then get another opportunity through the penalty with the red card. Now you're saying, okay, we have the lead. We have the man advantage. Let's just kill this game. And from what I picked up, Burnley came into it just fearless. They said, well, we have 8 games left. Let's just enjoy being in the Premier League. Let's just enjoy this occasion of being away to Chelsea, because they may not get it again for at least 1 year, maybe 2, 3, depending on how things go. And so I think they came into this game just fearless and wanted to see what would happen. And they played like that. They, even with 10 men, they played fearless. They defended, of course, deep. They went with the low block, which is Chelsea's kryptonite. But when they had to, they went forward and scored goals and attacked. And that's where it was a little disappointing for me. Not because I was there for a result, but it was more disappointing just because I really thought we would put in the performance that a team like Chelsea should. But Burnley stepped it up. Chelsea maybe were a little too naive in certain cases, or were afraid of losing the game, so they didn't really push. But ultimately, it ended up 2-2, and just left me wanting a little bit more. But like I said, I got over that, and looking back at it, it was just a good experience for me, and meeting Petrovic was the icing on the cake.
Yeah, listen, we'll leave the game review there because, like I said, it's one of those that's hard to swallow, hard to understand. I know the team is still young, and I keep hearing that excuse on loop, and it's, as a Chelsea fan, it's kind of getting a little old now, Rahul. I understand the reasoning behind it. It does make a little bit of sense, but I think what I miss sometimes is a little bit of heart and desire. And I feel like we're lacking that piece when it comes to the tough times. And so we'll leave it at that. Let's talk about Petrovic for a second. You sent me a lovely picture of you standing with him. He really has been a standout goalkeeper for us, Rahul. I think, with all due respect to Sanchez, I think Petrovic is a better fit. He could be the number one for a while. I know there are rumors of Kepa coming back, but so far from what I'm seeing, Petrovic is maybe even slightly better than Kepa. So at this point, for me, he's my number one. When you sent me the picture, you had a nice little statement saying he doesn't speak a lot of English, which I scratched my head for a minute. And I said, I'm sure I've heard him speak English. And I sent you a couple of YouTube videos where this young man speaks perfectly good English. So was he trolling you? What was going on over there? Can you share that with us as well?
I definitely think he was trolling me, or he just didn't want to answer the couple of questions that I threw at him. And there was nothing disrespectful, nothing, you know, wild or crazy. I was just really asking how he's enjoying being in London, how he's enjoying being at Chelsea. Yeah. But for some reason, he didn't want to answer it. Maybe it's PR training. Maybe it's just training in general from the club, which made me believe maybe he didn't really understand my question, but clearly he did. But no, he's in person. He's super tall, a big guy. And you can actually see it when he's playing in goal. But it was a great for me to meet him, and hopefully we'll see him again in preseason.
That's exactly what we want to see, and hopefully we see him as the number one for a little bit. Like I said, I think from what I've seen, he is the better keeper of the ones that we have in. So, listen, I'm very happy for you. I'm excited. Any plans coming up soon to go back to London, maybe catching an FA Cup final? Do you have the time to do that?
I can make time if we make it to the final, but no plans for now. The Chelsea women's team play Barcelona in April, and it's on a Saturday, so there's a part of me that's looking at that, but I don't think I'll be going out there.
Listen, we appreciate you sharing your stories with us. I think it's exciting, and myself included, but any Chelsea fan who hasn't had a chance to make it out to Stamford Bridge, you heard it here firsthand from Rahul of what the experience is like. We've heard it from many Chelsea fans who have made it out there. It's an incredible experience. And I will tell you firsthand, Rahul and I have heard this through Joe Cole, who told us we need to make it out there and spend some time at Stamford Bridge. So everybody who's telling us to go out there, so take some time, figure out how to do it, and just go enjoy the day. Rahul did, regardless of the results. So I think it's always a fun time to have. But Rahul, let's move on and talk about the game that played today. We're recording on the Thursday evening, earlier this afternoon for us, on the same time zone for once. Game kicked off at 3 p.m. It was Chelsea versus Manchester United. We wanted to do a build-up to this one. It just didn't work out. Manchester United have historically been a bogey team first, at least in recent memory. They find a way to grind out a result. I was not super-duper confident. I think when you and I were exchanging texts, I said, we're going to lose this one. And I think you said, I don't see it being an easy game. Game kicks off at 3 o'clock. I'm busy working. You're busy working. Within 10, 15 minutes, we're getting text messages that we're winning 2-0. Rahul, break down that first few minutes for me. We've had a chance to go through the highlights.
It was what we expected after the result on Saturday. You expected Chelsea to come out. You expected them to be on the front foot. Did not expect them to be 2 goals up that early. But it just shows you that if we can apply ourselves, we can put pressure on the opposition and take our chances, we can be a team that can make it difficult for these top teams out there, especially in the top six. So we saw the good of Chelsea in those first 15, 20, 25 minutes. But then we saw the bad Chelsea for the remainder of that half. So it's just that roller coaster that we've been talking about, the ups and downs.
It really has. And for a minute there, you said, if you can apply yourself. And it almost felt like a father talking to a child there. And so that's what I feel that Pochettino sometimes says. This is a young, inexperienced squad. And when you make statements like that, it leads me to believe this, even though I hate that that's become the excuse. But it shows every now and then, Rahul, with little things that we start off the game so well. Conor Gallagher, like you said, with the first goal, how good for him to continue his goal scoring from midfield. He's not had a couple in the last few games, but here he comes back onto the score sheet with a lovely finish. And maybe a little lucky, maybe Onana was a bit poor, in my opinion. But listen, we take those all day long. We want to get those goals nice and early. Cole Palmer for the penalty, Rahul. First of all, this young man has been absolutely fantastic. And we'll talk about him a little bit later on in the segment, because he ultimately wins this game for us. But that first half, from the highlights I saw, I think everything flowed through Cole Palmer. He was controlling the game for us, finding the passes, cross fields, taking shots. What do you think, or where do you think Chelsea Football Club would be if Cole Palmer is not in the form and in the goal-scoring form that he's been for us this season?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because I was asking this question a few weeks ago, and I think it was maybe after the Leicester City game.
Yeah.
And so just in the Premier League, from what I've heard, and I haven't confirmed it, but what I've heard is he's won us 13 points just by himself.
Incredible.
We sit on 43 points. So take 13 out of those, we'd be 30 points, which would be right in and around Crystal Palace in 14th.
Wow.
So, and then just a second layer to this is, you and I have a kind of optimism about Chelsea will make Europe.
Yep.
And so 13 points that he's won us is now keeping us within 5 points of sixth place with a game in hand. So if we win that, we are now 2 points within sixth place. Yeah. But again, it's all down to those points that he's winning us. And honestly, he's outperforming everything that I thought he would be doing. I didn't expect any of it, yep. But even when he started performing, when he came into the team, I did not think he would be sitting on 16 Premier League goals in April. I think I saw a chart or the goal scoring, and he's 2 behind Erling Haaland.
Yeah. And listen, Rahul, I don't remember the last time Chelsea had a player that had 16 goals in the Premier League, let alone somebody who came from Manchester City, somebody who's 21 years of age. It goes to show, right, when we keep saying that this team is very young and they need time, they need experience, Cole Palmer's taking all of those excuses and saying, I don't need them. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to do what I need to do. And honestly, he's not the most quick player, but he grinds for this team. He's moving. He's running. He's doing what he needs to do. I have been very, very impressed with him. So I want to pause for a minute, because we'll come back to him. We're 2-0 up in this first half. You and I excited. We can put our phones down, get back to work, because we're busy in our work lives. phone starts buzzing again, and it's 2-1. And I think from there, I text you and I said, this is the Chelsea team I know. We start off well. Goal conceded before halftime. Pochettino is going to have an interesting halftime team talk. And what's going to happen? We're going to crumble, and Manchester United is going to win 4-2. That's what I told you at halftime, and that's what I was expecting to happen. Rahul, Garnacho scores a goal, and this young man is a very, very good player. He's, in fact, maybe some might say the Cole Palmer to Manchester United. He's been carrying them in certain games, not to the level of Cole Palmer, but he really has stepped up in the last season and a half now, to show what he brings to Manchester United. This goal, though, what can you tell me about it? It seems like there's some self-inflicted wounds in this case.
They always are with Chelsea. It just, we do all the hard work, we do all the good stuff going forward, and then always just shoot ourselves in the foot when we defend. And it's easy to put the blame on Caicedo, but I almost look at Benoit Badiashvili, and he's not even expecting this pass to be played to him. So he's on the back foot. He's late to react. And yes, maybe Caicedo overplays it a little bit and hits it a little too hard. But I'm not looking at Caicedo saying, why are you making that pass there? Because he didn't have many options. Yeah, he could have gone back to Petrovic. But if Badiashvili is switched on, if he's aware of what's about to happen, he easily gets it. Whatever happens from there is something we won't know, but it's clearly would have avoided Garnacho, or I think it was him who ran through on goal and eventually scored. So it's just, we just keep doing this to ourselves, is just shooting ourselves in the foot.
It's been an interesting season with these mistakes, especially mistakes in the back that sometimes I feel are very, very elementary. And this is not an excuse, because they are highly paid players. They are experienced to a certain degree. You are coached week in, week out on this. But one thing that I've noticed about our team this season, Raul, and injuries is a big thing, is we have had so many combinations of center backs and so many combinations of a back four that sometimes you wonder. And in this case, obviously it's Caicedo to Badiashvili, who's been in and out of the team. Caicedo himself comes in and he doesn't know, is it Thiago Silva this week I'm playing with? Is it De Sassi? Is it Chaloba who's back in the mix? You know, Cucurella? Is it Ben Chilwell? And again, I don't want to make this an excuse, because I think that from Caicedo's perspective, he felt the pressure, made a poor pass. From Badiashvili's perspective, not positioning, maybe he's being asleep. But those are things that are happening this season that I'm hopeful that Pochettino can correct. And unfortunately, you and I come on this podcast every time and say, oh, this is an easy fix. He can correct that. We need this coach and that coach. But at the end of the day, it's down to these players to increase their match fitness, their match readiness, maybe their focus at the very least. And this is my famous saying, if you're in a pinch and you can't figure out how to get out of it nicely or neatly, just boot that ball far, far away from the net as you can, regroup and restart. So we kind of put ourselves in this situation. It's a difficult one. 2-1, Rahul, I'm okay with it. I said, you know what? Let's get to halftime. We can relax. We can redo this and come back. But of course, right before halftime, Bruno Fernandes, I get the text, another goal, 2-2. It's leading me to believe that it is going to be that famous 4-2 prediction that I said. This goal, Rahul, as I walk through it, it comes from a counter, if I'm not mistaken. And I watched it two or three times on the highlights. And Bruno Fernandes makes his run from so deep with nobody tracking, nobody watching him. And I don't want to say it's a mistake, right? Because at the end of the day, the ball comes in and he heads it. But it is a mistake where nobody is paying attention. It's another self-inflicted wound where they just go, yeah, Bruno Fernandes has not been in this match. Just let him straddle on in there and he can score the goal unmarked, which is absolutely poor and shocking in my opinion.
Yeah, it just comes down to awareness again. It's, you see, we're taking a corner, so we've left a couple of folks back in just to prevent the counter. The counter is happening. We've still maybe got a couple of bodies there that we slow it down. Yeah. And you see Mudryk and Nico come back and they're covering or marking Bruno Fernandes. But then Bruno Fernandes peels away and starts running into the box, and neither one of them follows him. And that's where I come back to the awareness and saying, I see Cucurella on the right wing, who was staying back to defend the counter. So clearly, if my left back is up there, I need to now transition into that left back position. And Højlund is already there being marked by, I think it was Badiashile. So someone needs to go with Bruno Fernandes. And it shouldn't come down to two players being marked by one. Like, that's just being outnumbered, and that's basic math. Forget football. Basic math is United are going to have the advantage there. And I come back to what I've said from the Carabao Cup final, but even earlier in the season, there's just no communication, no leadership. No one's saying, putting their hand up and saying, mark him or run with him or stay with him. And look, I get it. On the pitch, things happen very fast. It's the highest level. But either one of Mudryk or Nico Jackson need to say, I'm going to track my runner here because I've come deep enough to be in that left back position. I might as well see it through, but they don't. And it's just mistakes and awareness issues. And it's Pochettino can work on those. But at the end of the day, he's not out there controlling the players with a controller like we do when we play FIFA. So some of this needs to go down to the players where they say, we just need to be mentally aware of what's going on around us.
And Rahul, the one thing I'll add, everything you said there is perfect to summarize why we're so lack of focus, why we don't care. But one thing I will add is it shows that we're not a true team yet. We're still a few individuals on the pitch with talent, and that's clear to see. Cole Palmer, obviously talent above the others, but we are a few with just talent. In a team, regardless of what's happening on a counter, it doesn't matter if you're the striker, in this case Jackson, or you're the winger or the attacking midfielder in Mudryk. In a cohesive team, they'll say, hey, my friend went up for the, not my teammate, my friend went up for the corner. He's out of position. So for this particular move, I will track back to save my teammate. I care about my teammate's position. I care about my friend's position. I don't want him to be out of position. I don't want my team to concede the goal. It does seem like, oh, I'm the striker. I don't need to run back. I'm the left wing or the attacking midfielder. I don't need to run back in this position. That needs to come with a little more team building, team bonding. If it's a captain that needs to be screaming, maybe Conor Gallagher needs to be looked at and said, you need to yell at your boys and say, move. That's why you are wearing the captain's armband. There are a combination of things. You hear it through Pochettino. You don't want to believe it. You do want to believe it. But at the end of the day, it's a difficult situation because, again, self-inflicted wound, maybe that's the theme with Chelsea lately, and we go in at halftime. I'm always so worried for halftime team talks these days, Rahul, with Pochettino. We go in well, and in this case, we don't go in well, so I don't know what he's going to say to them that they come out on the charge and they can make something happen. They come out, and within 15 minutes, 20 minutes, another goal comes in for Manchester United, 3-2. It's Garnacho again with a lovely ball that's played out to him, actually. I think it was Anthony who plays this ball to him, and it works out to be a fantastic finish as well. What do you make of this halftime thing I'm talking about, where in some games we're playing brilliantly, Rahul, and we've got the game under control. We go halftime, come back, we demolish ourselves. In this game, we were already kind of on the downward spin anyway. The halftime team talk comes out, and again, another goal is conceded.
I honestly don't know what to make of it because it's turned into a theme where we could be doing well. We go into the second half and for some reason we don't come out with the same intensity and we're losing a game or we're drawing a game which we were winning. And I'd love to be in the locker room to hear what's being said, but I can't imagine Pochettino is telling them to drop their standards or not kick on and try to kill the game. So I really wonder, and maybe it's a mental thing, it's an intensity thing, but we're now into April of this season, so it's not a fitness thing. It's not that the players aren't ready to go or can't physically do it. So it has to be a mental thing where they're just saying, well, we were 2-0 up against Leicester. I'm just going to go back a few weeks. Mm-hmm. We're in a comfortable position here. Let's just see it through. Or here we're 2-2 and we were 2-0 up, now we're a little fragile and we don't know if we're going to come back into this game, and they concede a third goal. But even the third goal comes from a mistake, which is Benoit goes up the field, has a rough touch, loses the ball, and they counter. And we can say we concede every time they attacked, but we put them in those positions where we're outnumbered or where they're playing a ball and Garnacho can sneak a header in. So it's tough. There's the second half issue and everything we've spoken about. But then there's, again, these issues of just making simple mistakes that get punished every single time.
It is one of those tough ones, my friend, and it's hard to swallow. But I do like what you said about mentality there. I was listening to Mauricio Pochettino's press conference prior to this game. And one topic that did come up, Rahul, it's a very interesting one where he said, and we've known about this, right? It's come up a lot lately with football managers and with young footballers. He said, back in the day, I could kick, scream, yell, and maybe that was the way to motivate or to wake up a player. In this day and age, and obviously I'm paraphrasing here, in this day and age, you have to be a little more sensitive. You have to put your arm on the shoulder of the player. And I'm wondering, for managers, it's a natural thing to show passion through vocalization and through yelling and through kind of maybe throwing a table around and saying, wake up, boys. And the message I'm hearing through Pochettino, and it's not just Pochettino, we've heard this through Jose Mourinho in recent interviews, and we've heard it through other managers or younger managers that are coming in. Frank Lampard himself famously said, players are different these days. John Terry has had to correct himself when he's an assistant manager saying, oh, kick him out of the pitch. No, it's all about a different style of management now. And it almost is almost to the point where you have to say the right things so the players self-motivate themselves. And I feel that's the part that we're missing now. They have motivation to a certain degree. The self-motivation piece needs to come through. And I don't know how we're going to get there. I think we need to figure it out, and we need to figure out quickly, especially if we're pushing for that seventh spot. I wouldn't say sixth spot because we need to cross the bridge to get there first. But with a game in hand and a win, we can get to that seventh spot. I wouldn't get ahead of it. So 3-2, Rahul, and Chelsea's losing this game. I heard half of Stamford Bridge actually starts to walk out at this point towards the 90th minute. It's over, and Stamford Bridge is getting quiet. There's nothing to talk about. I put my phone down. A couple of friends were texting. You were texting. It's game done. What was the added time, Rahul? I can't remember. I think it was 11 or 12 minutes added time.
I think it was 8. Yeah, 8 minutes.
8 minutes. So I don't know how all this works, but we get a super lifeline with a penalty that comes our way. I think it was a trip on Cucurella, if I'm not mistaken.
That was the first one. This one was a Nani.
A trip on Nani, which ends up being Dallo that drops him down. Cole Palmer steps up, Rahul, and finishes it again. We heap some praise on this boy. But at 3-3, he saves our blushes. We're taking the draw. I am super excited. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take this one. And I'm happy with it. I can't complain. We get the draw. Before I can text you to say we're taking this draw and I'm happy, I get another alert that it's 4-3. And I think, I have to be very honest here, I think my apps are making a mistake. Something's off. But then the group chats of all friends start going off saying, what are we watching? What have we experienced? What is happening? I had to look this up. Cole Palmer rescues us. Obviously, a hat trick in this game, but rescues us not only 1 point, but all 3 points to kill the game. Listen, I'm getting passionate talking about this. I'll pause and pass it over to you, my friend.
It was one of those crazy moments where we're throwing everything at it. We get the penalty. And then you're thinking, do we even have enough time to get put another attack together and then maybe score? Or does United have enough time to put an attack together and score? Because that's where we are with both these teams, is you just don't know what's about to happen in the next 30 seconds to a minute. And luck just favors us in this case. I mean, I think United make a mistake where they try to go for the winner instead of just saying it's away from home. We're losing 2-0. We're now 3-3. Let's just take the point. And then they do another big mistake, which is leave Cole Palmer unmarked at the edge of the box. And for Chelsea, that's the best thing that could have happened, because out of the 11 Chelsea men on the pitch, the one man that needed the ball at his feet in that moment was Cole Palmer. And you can see he gets it, he shifts it out of his feet, and he just wants to take a shot. He's not even worried about crossing it. He's not worried about setting anyone else up. He's like, I'm going to hit this ball as hard as I can at the goalie. It's Onana, so you never know what might happen. And even before that, it gets deflected by Scott McTominay, and it goes in. And it's like, suddenly you're like, what have I just watched here? Because not even 90 seconds ago, we're staring down defeat and we're saying, is this Pochettino's last game? Similar time to Graham Potter last year. What are we going to come out of this as feeling going into the weekend? Cut 90 seconds later and you're like, Pochettino stays. We're going to be going for Europe. We're pushing further. And it's just, football does that to you. There's no other sport that can do that to you. It's just football. And Cole Palmer is on a high and long may it continue. 5 goals in a week. That's crazy.
And Rahul, Pochettino celebrations. You would have thought he won the Champions League final at the end of that one. Listen, that's what football is about, right? That passion. And I told you I was smiling and getting passionate talking about Cole Palmer winning it in the dead for us. Chelsea this season has been like a roller coaster, but this game is a summary or a small snippet of what Chelsea has been this season. Very good, very, very bad, decently well to sneak back a draw, and then fantastic to pull out the win at the end. Another roller coaster in the game. I'm so elated to get the win because, like we've been talking about, it keeps the pressure on us. It keeps the pressure on the teams above us. We've been talking about having a game in hand. Get the win. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But it keeps us in that position where we can ultimately try, at least towards the end of the season, to get as high up the table as possible. I know we floated the idea of sixth and all that, but at this point, I just want to see us climb the table towards the end of the season. Wherever we end, I'll take it because I know where the season has been. It's been one of those stressful things. But we have to remain in contention to keep climbing. And listen, you talked to me as a Chelsea fan 2-3 years ago, and I said, yeah, I'll be climbing the table to try and focus on anything above 10th. I would be so shocked to hear those words coming out of my mouth. But listen, it's the state of affairs with Chelsea. We get the win today, and I'm going to celebrate it, and I'm going to enjoy it. But one more thing I want to talk about, Rahul, is there's a little rumor going around, and in fact, reporters have asked Pochettino about it. Cole Palmer is a well-played, paid young man. I think he's making upwards of £75,000-£80,000 a week. A lot of the rumors, according to the reporters, are he should be making well more than that. We've heard about a young Carney Chukwuemeka on 100K. I think we've heard about a Malang Sarr who we don't even know if he's playing with Chelsea more, making 120K. Mudrik is on 80, 90K. Nkunku, 150. Raheem Sterling on 350. So the numbers are there to back it up that Chelsea has paid some astronomical wages. We know we've corrected that in recent terms. But Cole Palmer, Rahul, as one of the quote-unquote lower-earning players in the team, has really shunned this season. I think he signed a long-term contract, and so obviously the power is with the Clear Lake Group and with the club. But the push from these rumors are that he deserves, based on performance intensives, some sort of increase. I want to get your thoughts here before we move on.
I don't disagree with it. He's definitely performed. I wonder what his goal bonus is because he's maximizing it on a weekly basis. But apart from that, he deserves a pay rise just based on what he's done in the last few months. And he has to be the standout player for Chelsea this season. If you're looking at putting a team of the season together, the only Chelsea player that's going to get in is Cole Palmer. And he was not even part of our plans going into the summer as a player. He comes in on the last day and here he is. As it just seems like a natural fit. And I do have to speak to his character because for any player that's playing at Man City has aspirations of making it, for him to go to Pep Guardiola and say, listen, I respect you, I respect what we're doing here, but I know what I can do and I need to be playing football regularly. Now, a lot of young players may feel that, but to leave your comfy spot at Man City and leave the position of I'm going to end up with a trophy or two for sure this season, to give all of that up and say I'm just going to go jump into a new project and outperform all these £100 million players that they're buying shows the character of Cole Palmer. And you see his interviews, he's kind of just like very like calm and nonchalant and just says the right things. He's like, what do you want me to miss penalties? Of course I'm going to score them when I get them. And he's focused and he just wants to get the business done. Now, the only thing I'm worried about is we've seen it with a lot of players. When you give them a new contract based off of what they've done in the season, things just dip, things go down. And I'd hate for that to happen, but it just seems like Cole Palmer is just getting started. And so for Chelsea, we need to do everything we can to keep him happy and keep him here.
very well said. And honestly, I know that the team is still evolving, and I'm not advocating to go out and spend a lot of money in the market, but I think whatever we do at this point tactically, or even if it's in the market, should be built around him. I think we should be using him as the key at this point in time. And I'm with you, my friend. I hope that his form and his passion for the club stays like this for many a year to come. I don't want him to lose that passion. We've seen that with a few young English players that burst onto the scene, and unfortunately it goes wrong. Notably in recent times, it's a Jadon Sancho that's trying to rebuild his form and career. We've seen it with Dele Alli before, Jesse Lingard. So there is a trend of young English players that are absolutely fantastic, and it just seems to peter out for them. So I hope for him he continues. He's in the right place. He's got a manager who has been successful with young players for a long time. So I'm hopeful, Raul. I really am hopeful that it continues. But 4-3, I'll take the win. I'll take the result. And we move on and we build to the next game, which I want to talk about with you. And that's Sheffield United versus Chelsea Football Club. It is the second half of the table clash, top versus bottom, 10th versus 20th. And Sheffield United all but relegated at this point, Rahul. Everything I'm reading, stats point to a 70-75% win for Chelsea. There's no way Chelsea Football Club should lose this on paper. But my friend, they have found a way to make sure they lose these kind of games week in, week out this season. Rahul, let's do a predicted 11. Why don't you walk through who you think is going to play this game?
So Petrovic in goal. I believe Gusto will come back at right back. I would love to see Thiago Silva come back. Yeah. Not because of anything else, but he's just been injured, lost his way. He's been fit. He's come back. We're not keeping clean sheets anyway. Might as well try something else. So give me Thiago Silva. Give me Di Sassi. Give me Cucurella. The midfield, Jackie, is an interesting one because we just don't have the options. So it has to be Caicedo. It has to be Enzo. Yep. Cole Palmer on the right. He's gone with Mudryk the last few games with on the left. But since we've played on a Thursday night, we're playing again on Sunday. I do think Sterling will come back in. Yep. And Connor will continue as the attacking midfielder. And then Jackson up top.
Yeah, listen, I think Mudryk, we don't talk about him enough. I think he's doing well. And I think that's a compliment to him, Rahul, is the fact that in previous matches, we would outline Mudryk for being poor. We've outlined him for having standout games. And now, if we're not talking too much about him, I think he's doing the business as required. He's not doing something terrible, not doing something too good. But I'll take it. Listen, there's progress everywhere, and we'll have it that way. But I'm okay with that lineup. I think it's fine. Raheem Sterling, not in this game, but in the previous game, found a way to assist Cole Palmer. And so maybe this is an opportunity saying, hey, Mudryk has started the last few. He's been okay. Maybe you get a chance to come back to the forefront and see what you can do from the start. And hopefully this is the kind of game that I've said a player like Sterling should relish, is trying to break that low block. And I think being in 20th, Chelsea should and will have a lot of the ball and should find a way to break down Sheffield United. But we've seen that not be the case this season. Rahul, what is the score prediction from you for this one? Sheffield at home, they're going to be dogged. They're going to be difficult to break down. But listen, everything we're saying points to us winning this game. But you know how Chelsea is.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think Sheffield have gotten it together just a bit, at least scoring goals, maybe still not winning. But it's going to be a difficult game. We've just come off a very good game against United in certain pieces. It ended on an extremely high. But can we pick up and continue? I have some doubts, but I'll go for a 2-1 win away from home. It'll be difficult. It'll be a good atmosphere there for Sheffield. And again, for them, it comes down to we have a few games left. Yep. In the Premier League. Let's just make the best of it and see what happens. So hopefully we've learned from the Burnley game last weekend. We go into this game and we just need to get the business done because we can't keep saying Europe. And you've heard some of the players say it too. They see it.
Yeah.
So at some point, let's less words and more actions.
I like that saying, less words and more action. Listen, part of that action is I love that you've selected Thiago Silva to start in this lineup. I don't like that we've been leaking goals left, right, and center. I hope that he, at the very least, can lead these teams and tell them we're doing something silly on the pitch, and maybe that will help. He doesn't have to be super fast in this game, because like we said, Sheffield will be playing the road low block. It may give him the opportunity to not have to worry about pace here. I'm going for a 3-0 win, my friend. I hope that with Thiago Silva back, we can have a clean sheet. Cole Palmer has been on good form. Nicholas Jackson needs a goal. Maybe Raheem Sterling comes back into the mix. Conor Gallagher has been in good goal scoring form. So 3-0 for me there. So let's see
Jackson,
how this plays out.
Jackson needs one too.
He needs a goal. We definitely need to see a couple of these guys get goals. So I think 3-0 wins from both of us. So I'm super, super excited about this game. It's on a Sunday kickoff for us. So let's all tune in and support the team there. But Rahul, before we part ways today, I want to talk about one more piece of information, and that is our very own young Alfie Gilchrist has signed a contract extension. He's going to be with us for a little bit of time. I'm sure it came with the pay bump. We've seen little bits of him this season, and he has impressed me. I think he's doing a little bit of the traditional old school center back or defensive player where he takes no prisoners. He's a little aggressive. And with everything that Pochettino said, with players being a little more sensitive, I like what I'm seeing. I think that he can grow to be one. And Chelsea, for one, is blessed in the center back quantities, but not in the center back fitnesses. So with Thiago Silva getting into his 40s, I'm sure he may not renew this year. And some of our other center backs who are rarely fit, it seems like a good move from Chelsea to keep him there. You don't have to go spend the money. And he's done the business whenever called upon.
He has, and he's been a good squad player. He's been a player that's come in and brought on, especially when we're trying to hold on to leads. And you can see he cares. You can see he's a Chelsea boy. I did see a thing from Fabrizio Romano saying he may go out on loan next season. But even just being with the team this season must have been great for him. So we wish him well. We congratulate him on the new deal. Before we wrap it up, Jackie, there was a moment with the former Chelsea player and Enzo Fernandez in this United game. I'm not sure if you caught it, but it was Enzo's way of kind of endearing himself, not that he needed to, with the Chelsea fans, but he goes up against Mason Mount. They obviously were teammates last season for a few months. And I do have to say, I think there was a Mason Mount banner that was displayed before the game. I saw it was going to be. I'm not sure if it was. But from the Chelsea faithful, I think he was given the reception that he deserves, in the sense that he was a Chelsea player that we loved and adored. He obviously moved on for whatever reason. But that moment with Enzo just made me like him even more.
Listen, at the end of the day, Enzo is on a long-term contract as well. He's here to stay. Everything he said has indicated he wants to be successful at Chelsea Football Club. And one of the things with success is a little bit of banter to help the Chelsea fans love you a little bit more. I haven't seen the full incident, so I'll definitely take a look after this. But at the end of the day, Rahul, we have new star boys coming in. We have old star boys that have moved on, and Chelsea will be here. And listen, we will be successful. Maybe not this year, but at some point in the future.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I know a lot of people are on Pochettino. He needs to be fired. He needs to be let go. I just feel we're at a point where let him just see the season out. Let him get the next season. And let's just see where we are 3-4 months in. If there's no improvements, then it's a different conversation. But who else are we going to bring in anyway at this point? So let's get some continuity, which we haven't had, and see where it takes us, and hopefully next season will be better than this season. So that wraps it up, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Please continue to subscribe, like, and follow us at The Premier Chels on all podcast providers, and at The Premier Chels Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And we will be back with the Sheffield review. We promise we will be back now. We're both not traveling, and we should be able to do this a lot more regularly. But until then, stay safe and up the Chels.